ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. As we saw, a great discussion was going on, what is the goal of life, and some seekers understood. Realization of Brahman is alone, is the goal of life. And what does one gain? They also understood the gains. Sarvam idam bhavati. Sarva bhava panna. A person who realizes Brahman becomes sarvam, purnam. Then how to attain it? So we have seen also this whole creation is a play of Brahman so that he wants to entertain himself. It is like playing a solitaire game where one tries to deceive oneself and then catch oneself and then go on laughing, I caught myself. So that is what is called Leela. In our last class, we completed one of the most important mantras, 10th mantra of the 4th section of the 1st chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. What is the essence of this 10th mantra? So this 10th mantra unfolds and establishes there is only one reality that is called Brahman. Call it God, call it Allah, by whatever blessed name you desire to call. And what are we? The Jiva, the individual soul, is essentially identical to that Brahman. Because if Brahman is everything, if Brahman is the cause, then this entire universe is the effect, and the effect can never be different from the cause. Then what is it we are experiencing now? This is called samsara. Samsara means seeing everything as different. I am born, that is different. I am surviving, that is different. One day I will have to disappear from this world. That is also a change. This entire birth, growth, sustenance, old age, disease, and death. This is called Shadvikara. Sixfold changes everyone has to go through. Samsarati means continuous change. And Brahman is one eternal, unchanging, one without a second. So how can we equate this world with Brahman? But this thinking, really Brahman has not created, has not become Jiva, is not thinking is the Jiva, and all these thoughts are only from our mind's point of view, from avidya point of view. All questions, who am I? Who am I here? How did I happen to come here? And why did Brahman create? And he could have created a better world. All these questions are products of ignorance. So long as we are ignorant, so long as we do not know that we are Brahman, these questions will not cease. So long as a person is experiencing a snake, his fear will never vanish. But at some point of time, person gets tired. At first, this is the very great psychological point. At first, that all of us get so much of pleasure from various things. In fact, we try to minimize all unhappiness, all suffering, and maximize all our happiness. This seems to be the goal of life for a very, very long time. And then comes the awakening that it is impossible to achieve this objective. Therefore, there must be another way where I can be without any fear of death, ignorance and suffering. And for that purpose, the search is now withdrawn from the external to the internal. Such persons are called spiritual seekers. So, then that person, with the help of the guru who interprets the scripture, he slowly destroys the avidya. Now, what Advaita wants to convey to us, vidya or true Brahma vidya or Atma vidya, knowledge of one's own self, is never lost, can never be lost, but it is covered up. So, every spiritual practice is only to remove this covering. So, destruction of avidya or destruction of the adhyasa, superimposition, is called spiritual practice. And as soon as we succeed in removing this ignorance, ignorance of who we really are, not what we think we are. At the moment, what we think we are is called avidya. When this wrong notion is totally eliminated, then vidya, we do not need to acquire vidya. It is already there. Just like by the removal of darkness, a thing will stand revealed, because removal of darkness is to manifest the light automatically. Not that after removing the darkness, then we, like somebody sitting outside, now we have vacated a seat, there is a vacant chair, you can come inside. No, not like that. Removal of adhyasa or avidya alone is a spiritual practice. And then we realize we were never bound. What we were wholeheartedly seeking, already we have obtained as it were. We are that. Just we have to remove. For that, a Mahavakya tremendously helps. And the essential point in this 10th mantra is Aham Brahmasmi. And then the Atmanyeva Upasita. One should therefore strive to realize this Brahman alone. Now we are going to this particular 4th section has got 17 mantras. We covered more or less 10 mantras, and some mantras I've already described, especially in, I think in the 8th mantra, how this creation has started. Now again from the 11th to the 17th, this 4th section has got 17 mantras. We covered 10 mantras and we have to cover another 7 mantras. So from 11th to 17th, again, 2 important ideas. So creation has been described earlier, but to maintain this creation and to see that life goes on merrily without any problem, then we have to create those people who tell us how to run, how to live life, and how not to do certain actions which will only stop our further evolution or even can take us back to the previous state. How to stop that one? Then slowly, how to progress? So Brahman has created 4 types of castes. This is the origin of the caste system in Hinduism. God himself has created. And Bhagavan Krishna affirms it. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam unakarma vibhagshah. So I have only created what for maintenance. But the peculiarity of this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, what do we mean by Chaturvarnyam? 4 castes. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad elaborates and says, because Srishti also contains gods and goddesses, that is to say, Adhi Daivika, Adhyatmika, Adhi Bhautika. The entire creation can be divided into 3. Each one of us, individuals, called Adhyatmika. Then the entire external world, which every one of us is experiencing and formulating certain samskaras through our experiences. That is called Adi Bhautika. But to have an overall management, how to make a person behave properly, do this, do not do this, do's and don'ts. So certain powers are created, they are called Adhishtatru Devatas. And also how to live life. So for that purpose, four castes were created. Now what Brihadaranyaka Upanishad wants to add to us, it is not only at our level, but even at the level of the gods, four varnas are there. So there is a Deva Brahmana, Deva Kshatriya, Deva Vaishya, and Deva Shudra. Now what are these castes? Castes are nothing but divided on the basis of gunas. As we know, gunas are three. So certain combinations, this is a very important point. No guna by itself can be effective. It is only combination of every guna. How many combinations are possible? So first, sattva guna dominates, rajo guna supports, tamo guna helps. That is called brahmana. Rajo guna dominates, sattva guna helps, tamo guna also helps. That is called kshatriya, or the rulers, warriors, what Plato used to call, Socrates used to call the second category. First category, according to Socrates, is called philosophers, those who set the goal of life crystal clearly. But to maintain this order, kshatriyas are necessary with tremendous power. They are the kings, they are the warriors, they are the leaders of men, etc. They fall under the second category, and they are dominated by rajoguna. They have to be extremely alert, intolerant of any evil that is being perpetuated. And then people were advised according to their castes. You will have to do these special activities. So for example, for a Brahmana, study of the Vedas, leading a life, showing an ideal life, that is the speciality of Brahmanas. So protecting the weak, subduing the strong and evil people, and see that society runs smoothly, that oiling process of this machine called society, they are called Kshatriyas or warrior class. And people are advised, you have to worship God, you have certain duties in life, and for that purpose, Panchamahayagnas, special worships, special upasanas, they have been given, and to see that they are done properly, many things are needed, many items are needed, so one has to get that supply. The persons who see that everybody requires food, materials, and at one place something grows, another place something else grows. So these third castes, they are called the business people, Vaishyas, and herein called Wit. So their business is, so they have international connections. So if some excess product is there, so excessive product they remove, take it where it is needed and not available. And what is available there? Say, for example, certain exotic things are not available in Western countries. Only India can give, especially spices. That is why everybody wanted to come and conquer India so that they can have free access. But India also was known as a treasure house of gold, silver, and many other precious minerals, etc., metals, etc. So that is why everybody's sight is drawn. That is why Muslims had come. That's why English people, Dutch people, Portuguese people, all these French people, everybody had come. Finally, only the Muslims and the English people dominated, looted, and that we should not blame them, because we welcomed them and we helped them to loot everything. because of our non-cooperation. Even now it is going on. So, the third class, who are what is called rajo-dominated, rajas-dominated, but helped by, greatly by rajas and tamas in equal proportions, they are called vaishyas. But there are different types of activities. So, harvesting, cultivating, cleaning, storing, and bringing things, workers are needed. They are called shudras. And it is not that a particular caste of people have been created. No, no. According to their guna, where tamo guna is more, the person needs to be told, you have to do this, etc. They cannot think. Somebody has to continuously direct them, do this, don't do this after that, etc. Such people, they are called shudras. And in every society, in every age, we get these people. Not that it is only from the beginning there. So, for that purpose, from Brahman, having created this universe with all the panchabhutas, then he created. So, Deva Varnas, Deva Brahmana, Deva Kshatriya, Deva Vaishya, Deva Shudra. And this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, from the 11th chapter onwards, section onwards, it is trying to elaborate one after the other. Then, with the help of, if everybody does their duties properly, everybody will be progressing. So, the Shudras will develop higher consciousness, then they become more rajo-dominated. Then later on, they will be dominated by sattva guna. That is how this is a slow evolution from a low state of consciousness to a higher state of consciousness. That is what this wants to tell. So just as Brahman created the Deva Varnas, four castes of the Devas, gods and goddesses, we have to understand that exactly in a similar manner, all human beings were also recreated. So, Deva Brahmanas degenerated into Manushya Brahmanas, Deva Kshatriyas into Manushya Kshatriyas, and Deva Vaishyas into Manushya Vaishyas, and Deva Shudras into Manushya Shudras. Now, though it is not necessary, this is a point we can add here. Is this division of the only applies to human beings or non-human beings also? Yes. You take one simple example. The story of honeybee. Then you can say there is a queen and there are warriors to protect the hive. Then there are workers who will be going and gathering and there will be people. It is such a marvelous story. How much intelligence is needed. Just I will give you a small example. Then we understand this section properly, better way. So, there are some ant colonies. And these ant colonies were being flooded. So, they will have to find a safer nest for the ants. Ant house. We call it ant hill. So, what do these people do? They have to cross sometimes huge expanses of water. And individually, if they do, it is not going to help. So, they join hands and legs and form a huge, like a boat or a huge mat. And the entire nest of the other people, other ants, they will be gathering onto that mats, as it were. And they will be floating. And these fellows slowly, they guide it to a place where the danger of water is not there. That's why if anybody scientifically examines either a beehive or ant hive, you will see how much intelligence is there. When you look at some birds, there are some birds who create such beautiful nests and they are fully aware, fully conscious that snakes are there to hunt them. So there are particular species of birds I have seen the video. They create a nest with various doors. And the real room
where they store the eggs will be practically like this Lucknow's maze, Bhulbulaiya. This snake will poke into several nests and it doesn't see anything and finally disappointed, most of the snakes, they disappear. Why am I citing this example? To know how much intelligence is really working there, albeit unconsciously. Many squirrels, they gather when the winter season is coming, they have to survive in their burrows, so they will be gathering some nuts, etc., to tide them over during that cold season when they cannot come out really. What do the bears do? They hibernate. How much intelligence? This is only to place before you how much intelligence these creatures have got. So, Brahma manifested himself as the world. Then he created various animals, etc. Then he created human beings. Then a world order has to be established for that Adhishtatru Devatas. And that is from where the Karma Siddhanta has come. These gods are watching us. And according to our karma, if we worship them, they reward us. If we neglect and misbehave, so they are keeping the count and they will try to correct us. It is not a punishment, it is a correction. So this is how, see, Deva Varnas, Brahmana Varnas are created. And then in between this, what is the purpose of all this? Right from the lowest caste, we have to strive through the devout performance of our respective duties. That is how a Shudra becomes a Vaishya. That means terrible Tamoguna now becomes mixed up with more of Rajoguna. Then he enters into more Sattvika Guna, becomes a Kshatriya. This is a state of progress we have to understand, not a privilege to oppress and suppress and selfishly hoard everything for one's own self. And whenever we neglect this one, the karma phala will come with a big blow. Study history, this is what happens. And this history has been repeated in our Puranas in the form of the continuous warfare between the Suras and Asuras, gods and demons. What is this fight? The fight is whenever somebody neglects and then doesn't live proper life appropriate to their stations in life, then karma phala will come in the form of suffering. Only here, a demon is nothing but a creator or an excuse for creating suffering. Suffering awakens these people, then they think deeply, we have neglected the commandments of God. That's why in Bible it is called Ten Commandments. And we have got Dharma Shastras, nothing but Vidhi and Nishedha. Then we slowly have faith, acquire faith and experiment and get some results. Our faith deepens. That is how we progress. The whole thing is meant, involution is meant, so that we can evolve. If I have to summarize the entire this one, creation first is nothing but involution coming to the inorganic. Thereafter, evolution starts with the sprouting of prana in the one-celled body, call it amoeba by whatever name, and slowly multiplying and evolving physically, brain-wise, then mentally, then spiritually, finally reaching the destination, that is reaching home from where we have come. This is the idea. Now I will give you a gist of the and summary these mantras from 11th to 17th mantra. So seven mantras are there for us to deal with. Once we understand the gist of this, which I have already given the summary of the summaries, but I am going into a little more details, and then we will go through the proper mantras. It will be a breeze over to understand them. This is how we have to read any book. This is the technique by which one can grasp in the least amount of time and grasp more intelligently, retain it for a longer time. First of all, you read the foreword. The author, if he is a good author, crystal clearly outlines, this is the subject about which I am going to talk, and on this subject, especially, I am going to emphasize these particular points of view. And then he elaborates them, then giving examples, etc. So it may be 300-page book, 400-page book, and at the end of every chapter. So every para has a connection with the next para. If it is an intelligent writing, every chapter has a connection to the next chapter, and the whole book at the end, at the end of every chapter, says, these are the special points we have discussed so far in this chapter, and continuing, this is the connection between the previous chapter and then the next chapter. This is what Shankaracharya calls Sambandha Vashya, relationship between the previous mantra and next mantra, previous chapter, next chapter, previous section, next section, previous chapter, next chapter, etc., etc. So beautiful. If we can follow this methodology, it will be marvelous. So, what happened before creation? Who was there? Brahman alone existed. Ekam Sat Advitiyam Sadeva Saumya Idam Agra Asit. In Chandogya, we have seen that one in the 6th chapter. Only Brahman alone existed. That is what Brihadaranyaka also repeats. So then Brahman wanted to create. Now, here so many people question, why did Brahman have to create? Could he not have kept quiet? Then we need not have all these classes, this samsara, this create a problem, then show a solution. No, this is called Leela. And you cannot complain, because who is the creator? Brahman. Who is the creation? Brahman. And who has degenerated or involved? Brahman. Who is evolving? Brahman. That is the fun of it. So he does it for fun. And he knows it with full consciousness, he does it. So this is what we have to understand. Before creation, Brahman alone existed. And to ensure the proper functioning of this created universe, Brahman created the powerful castes. So, Kshatriyas, and earlier he said Agni. Agni means Brahmana. So, Indra, Varuna, etc. While the Kshatriya power, warrior class, represents power, its source is none other than Brahman. And that is why in the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king has to sit below a Brahmana who is performing the Yajna. So, Kshatriya has to honor his own source. And to understand it in common sense language, what it means is, why is the person doing this Yajna, Yaga, etc.? Because he learns from the Brahmana, the goal of life is to manifest your potential divinity and you are a Kshatriya, and the duty of the Kshatriya is to protect and also to evolve one's own self also. So, if you can do some Yajnas, Yagas, that is not the only duties. Your main duty is to see that this society functions as it is supposed to function. But since you are selfish, you also have selfish individual desires. To fulfill those desires, you can do some Yajnas, Yagas, etc. And only powerful, wealthy Kshatriyas can do some of these. And that is at the very beginning of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we said that what is called Ashwamedha as Virat, a king can do with all the elaborations and all the four varnas are necessary. But if somebody doesn't have that capacity, you just sit and do mental upasana, it will give you exactly the same result as if you are the king and you are doing it meticulously from the beginning to the end. That is why that Virat Upasana and its continuation was there. First, it is the Ashva, then it is the Agni, then it is the Prana. We have seen that one already. You will have to always keep the essential points in mind. Otherwise, my talk will be what is called dissected, non-related topics. So, the essence of the 11th mantra is, he created what is called Brahmanas, Kshatriyas. Then the mantra 12, power alone, strength alone was not enough. Because for the sake of wealth and social nourishment, so that many things are necessary, suppliers of many things, and therefore, so Deva, Vaishyas were created, and that is described in the mantra 12. So like Vasus, Rudras, these Vaishyas were created. But creation of Brahmanas, creation of Kshatriyas, creation of Vaishyas alone will not do. There are so many physical, menial labor one has to do. When a person has vast lands for cultivation, the cultivators, only Shudras can do it. And then harvesting, and then storing, and then protecting them. So many things one has to do. For that purpose, the Shudras have to be created. Mantra 13, for service and support, Shudra Varna. So here also Deva Shudra, you have to remember. Pushan, that is Prithvi, was created. Here the earth is called Pusha because it is she who is cultivable and who yields, sustains, supports, nourishes all of us. Then 14th mantra tells us something extraordinary. So here are the Kshatriyas, here are the Brahmanas, here are the Vaishyas, here are the Shudras. And there are also infinite variation is possible. So supposing somebody has got some Kshatriya, has got tremendous power. Some Brahmana has tremendous knowledge. Then he can become very arrogant. That's a possibility is there because avidya is ruling. Similarly, a powerful king, like a powerful politician, can do whatever they like. If somebody praises him, then he will bestow the highest power, his good wishes and goodies and good wishes, everything. If he doesn't like somebody, however worthy that somebody, then he will demote them, destroy them. This is the way we see. You just look at the newspaper, that's what you will see. Everywhere it is going on. So, to protect, Brahman created something marvelous. It is called Dharma. So, a Brahmana, Brahmana Dharma. Kshatriya, Kshatriya Dharma. Vaishya, Vaishya Dharma. Shudra, Shudra Dharma. What does it mean? It means these people, according to their own caste, and they were created and classified belonging to that caste because a particular quality is dominating in them, assisted, of course, by the other two qualities. Just as in Brahmana, Sattva is dominant quality, Rajas is the helpful quality. Then Tamoguna is the another one. Here, Rajas is more powerful, more helpful. That's why he retains. So, it is not according to by birth. Caste is according to the quality. So, that is what we need to do. So, now, very interesting analogy can be given. Now, there are so many AI companies like OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, of course, Meta, and etc., etc. So many are there coming. And China is producing marvelous AI thing, which India cannot even look up. Not because we lack intelligence, but we lack that purushakara, energy, and full of jealousy, intolerance. We cannot tolerate. Our greatest dharma is to pull down the other person as much as possible. I may not get anything, but I will not tolerate other person getting even a little better than what I have. This is the main cause. If this cause is not addressed, we are not going, however much money the government may spend, we are not going to improve at all. That is the truth. Whatever party comes into power, That's not important. What type of persons are there using that power? That is most important. So, Brahman has created Dharma. And very interestingly, this Dharma and Satya are equated. Satya is understanding what is the proper action to be done, proper way to be done. And Dharma is putting it into absolute practice. That's why you cannot separate Satya and Dharma. We will come to that. So, in this 14th mantra, Brahma, after creating the four divine castes, now created Dharma, so that the Dharma keeps them under control. If anybody transgresses the Dharma, then Dharma itself becomes Yamadharma Raja. That's why Yama is called Yamadharma Raja. So, that person, Yamadharma Raja, will give the appropriate karma phala. So, this is Dharma. Dharma is the power behind power. The controlling power of any power is called Dharma. Where Dharma exists, even a weak person, so the mantra says, 14th mantra, can overcome a strong one. That is why we say Dharma and Satya are one. Satyameva jayate. In the ultimate instance, it is only Dharma and Satya which become victorious. Temporarily, maybe something may not be there. That is the essence of the 14th mantra. 15th mantra, this social order exists among both gods and men. So, if a person performs many holy works without realizing his own world, those works are only temporary. Only when a person knows who he is, obtains through the attainment of self-knowledge, atma-jnana, then these works become, help him to achieve the goal of life, which is to know Aham Brahmasmi. So, mantra 15 is reminding us the whole purpose of creation is to catch hold of the Dharma and Satya. That is why in the 11th Anuvaka of the Taittiriya Upanishad, Satyam Vada Dharmam Jara. The rest is elaboration. So, the social order exists among both gods and men, etc. As I said earlier, for example, Agni is the Deva Brahmana. Indra is the Deva Kshatriya. Vasus, etc., Deva Vaishyas. Prithvi, she is called the Deva Shudra, etc. So, in this 15th mantra, says, we have to evolve slowly. What is evolution? Absolutely behaving how we are supposed to behave. And this we get from Dharma Shastras. That if you are a Shudra, this is your Dharma. If you are a Shudra, this is you should not do your Adharma. And if you follow Swakarmana Tam Abhyarchya Siddhim Vindati Manavaha. So if a person discharges his duty as a worship of God, that is essence of Karma Yoga, then Siddhim Vindati. Slowly he progresses and ultimately by the grace of God, he will become a Vaishya, he will become a Kshatriya. That is called improvement, progress in the state of consciousness. Ultimately, the person will become a Brahmana, that is, a seeker of Brahman, and then he will practice Mahavakya Shramana Manana Nididhyasana, and then he becomes a realized soul. That is the most wonderful thing, 15th mantra. What is it saying? It is saying, without, let me first quote what Sri Ramakrishna beautifully puts it, this 15th mantra. He says, any number of zeros without one in the front are completely zeros, valueless. But put one, and as you go on adding zero after zero, the value of that increases. 10, 100, 1000, 10,000, 100,000, 1 million, etc., etc. This is what the mantra is telling, that if every activity is not directed towards reaching our own true nature or Brahman, realization of Brahman or Atma-jnana, all these works, they will only give temporary effects. The mantra is not telling, they will not give effect. They will give. But again and again and again, we fall from that high state. Again we have to do, until we learn the lesson that all these will give permanent result. Then we offer them as worship of God. And then mantra 16 beautifully puts it. Supposing a person, through the evolution from Shudra to Brahmana, from Tamoguna to Sattvaguna, then Shuddha Sattvaguna, he will slowly realize, like that person who was taken from, saved from Tamoguna, then saved from Rajoguna, Sattvaguna alone saves, it brings him, shows, there is your home, your village, you go there. When the man invited, you have saved my life, I am eternally grateful. Please come to my house, we will honor you, we will be blessed to honor you. He said, no, I am also a robber. That means all gunas belong to the Srishti. We have to go beyond Srishti, what was before Srishti, which is Brahman. So that is how a knower of the Atman becomes a world for all beings. Because a knower of Brahman or Atman is Brahman. And such a person, anybody who worships, any bhuti kamaha, anybody who wants any desire to be fulfilled, so he must worship a Atma Jnani. Because Atma Jnani is non-separate from Atman or Brahman. So here is a living example called Jivan Mukta. Through his sacrifice, study and service to guests and animals, he supports entire creation. These are called Panchamahayagna, devatas, rishis, pitrus, and then all human beings and all non-human beings, and even the smallest creatures. When he loves all, the entire creation loves him back. Just imagine, Sri Ramakrishna once saved a big, what is called, Magurmach. And then, we don't know how the Magurmach really feels after that. According to its own capacity, it must have heaved a sigh of relief, becomes happy, and must have expressed gratitude to the saver, which is Ramakrishna. So, only whatever is minimum necessary they will do, but beyond that they will never try to harm. Even what minimum they do, also with a prayer. I heard that some South Africans, when they hunt, because they don't get anything for some particular animals like deer, etc., they run it down. Finally, they pray, O Devata, Spirit, you are dying, sacrificing your life for the sake of sustaining us. We pray to God, in your next birth, you will have a better life because of your sacrifice. And after this prayer to this ancestor, what is called their own gods in whom they believe, they sprinkle a little bit of dust there. And this is what we do, Shraddha, etc., to people in gratefulness to all our ancestors. And all Panchamahayagna is nothing but sprinkling, uttering this, our gratefulness, and sprinkling the dust. So, Mantra 16 says that everybody loves a Jivan Mukta. Why? Because Jivan Mukta becomes the Atman of all these beings. And Mantra 7, the final mantra in this fourth section, when the Atma existed alone, so what happened? It desired a wife, children, wealth and work to feel complete. So, what does this 17th mantra really mean? It means, when a person comes off age, comes to the consciousness, he becomes awakened, then he looks, he understands what to do. Then he understands, this is my duty in life if I want to progress further. So therefore, he wants to fulfill all his desires legitimately according to the direction of the scripture. So such a person, what is called a brahmachari, desires a wife, children, wealth and work. And then the purpose is not to enjoy the world, but the purpose is slowly to evolve by developing faith in the scripture and by satisfying some of the desires. So this mantra teaches us a very important lesson. You see, an unfit person cannot simply renounce the world. he will be like a jobless person renouncing the world, going to Varanasi, and then after some time securing a job. Do not worry, I'm keeping well, I'm sending 10 rupees, I got a job now, the next time when I come, I will bring some clothes and some other materials for you. You do not feel bad about me. Don't feel anxious about me. This is called jobless vairagya, smashana vairagya, prasuti vairagya, and all these markata vairagya, jobless vairagya. All these things are this one. So the mantra 17 tells us that all this entering into grihastha ashrama from brahmacharya ashrama to grihastha ashrama is an evolution, so that what we have learned must be put into practice. That helps us to evolve further. Ultimately, it brings us to vanaprastha ashrama, which leads us to sannyasa ashrama. That is the essence of this mantra 17. So that is the essence of the 11th to 17th mantras. So there is a mutual relationship between these mantras, which we will talk about in our tomorrow's class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.